In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We've now completed Lent. Congratulations. And now we're heading into Holy Week. In doing so, we celebrate one of the seven major feasts in our church, which is, of course, today's feast of Palm Sunday, or otherwise known as the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Together, we've read the Sunday readings over the last few weeks throughout Lent as a journey and as a model for our whole spiritual life. For our whole spiritual life, we've seen that it's important to set a clear destination, to be firm in our resolution to reach that destination, to not be dismayed or troubled when we fall, but to get back up again because our loving Father accepts us. And now we start to see the finish line when our eyes are made clear and God gives us sight and gives us healing. And now we've arrived now at the heavenly Jerusalem. And today we make this triumphal entry into Jerusalem with our ever-victorious Lord Jesus Christ. So on Palm Sunday, we read how Christ entered on our behalf and was glorified by the people. This is, of course, an image, a kind of shadow of the glorious end that we who are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ will have at the end of days, because it's a reflection of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ in accomplishing our salvation and what will happen in the end of days after the judgment, as we read in the book of Revelations. Here, those who have shared in the victory of Christ will follow the Savior into the heavenly Jerusalem, as Revelation says, the new Jerusalem, which will come down from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, a kingdom that will have no end, and they will cry out loudly, as we read in today's story, of God's glory. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And this is a shadow of the glorious end of those who follow Christ. But it's also a reflection of something else, something very powerful, which is the loving kindness and the humility of the Creator of the universe, his indescribable humbleness. Yes, he was glorified by all the people. They were praising with their mouths. They were waving palm leaves, putting their clothes on the path, yelling all of the Hosanna praises. They saw Lazarus being raised from the dead just recently before this, and now they were glorifying him. And they wanted to even make him the king. And the people, of course, needed the king. They were being oppressed by the Romans. They were under the thumb of the chief priests and the scribes. And in open rebellion to all of that, the people proclaimed that this is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. The people thought that this was a promotion for our Lord Jesus Christ. They thought they were putting him in a higher position. The leaders were very jealous of this, and the Romans were alarmed at this, because to them there should only be one king, which is, of course, Caesar. But the truth is, he brought all creation into being and is therefore the king of all creation already, all the universe, and over all the angels. I read a little bit from St. Jacob of Saruk yesterday, and he has a very beautiful contemplation. He says, let's look at this event, this whole spectacle that's taking place here through the eyes of the angels who were nearby. They saw the truth of the matter, that the praise from their mouths and of the palm leaves was too little for the Creator of the universe. They were probably full of wonder at what was transpiring before them, that the one who sits on the throne in heaven, full of glory and majesty, indescribable, where thunder and lightning were too small to witness to his glory. This throne was also carried by the cherubim and the seraphim, and they worship each other. They worship Christ, and they look at each other, bowing down their heads, covering their face with their wings because they can't approach the glory of the Lord in heaven. Now they see the same one who they see also on the throne, riding on a donkey in the dirty streets of Jerusalem, being praised by the mouth of regular people, not by great angels, fiery angels, Archangel Michael and Gabriel and all of their legions, but by regular people and by their children, waving palm leaves and laying down their clothes on the road. And at the same time, he was in both places, because he's omnipresent, of course. He was in heaven and on earth. So at the same time he was being praised in heaven, he is now being praised in the streets of Jerusalem. Above he is mighty, below he comes lowly, riding on a donkey. And for a short time, The line between heaven and earth are blurred. We can't tell the difference because he's being praised in both locations. We praise God, we ascend to heaven when we do so, joining the work of the angels in to praise our Father who abides there. And our Father, he comes down to our level, to earth, and to receive and accept our lowly praises. So this is the majesty of the liturgy. When we participate in the liturgy blurs that line between heaven and earth. The angels must have stood in amazement watching this, as you know, the things that they were seeing, especially when they looked not only at these people praising Christ, but also they looked at the Romans and they looked at the chief priests and the scribes as well. With the Romans, what kingdom can compare? Even the Roman Empire couldn't compare with the kingdom of the Creator of the universe. He is King of all. Or the angels must have been shocked as well when they looked at the chief priests and how were they jealous. And they actually wanted to kill Lazarus because of the glory that Christ received because of this. And they said at the end, "You see, you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the whole world is going after him." What were they jealous over? Christ was descending from the glory that he had in heaven to ride on a donkey in the dirty streets of Jerusalem. They tried to silence the praise of the crowds. They said to Christ, "Do you hear what they're saying?" And the angels must have wanted to step in. Like, imagine if Christ let the people be quiet. The angels would have stepped in wanting to praise Christ there in the presence of all the people. They wouldn't have kept silent. And then at that point, who would be able to stop like Archangel Michael or Gabriel and their legions to praise Christ? And even all the creation praises him. Even the stones, as we read today, even the stones would shout out. And the stones did eventually praise him. Do you guys know when? On the cross, what happened to the stones? They broke in half, right? It was their way of praising the Creator of the universe. It's a kind of a mystery how nature praises God. It's something we don't fully understand, but even the birds and the animals and the waves of the ocean, everything praises God. The natural world praised our Lord in a very clear manner at the time of his resurrection. We see that the earth quaked, the sun hid its light, and the stones were broken in half. And knowing what we know today, especially in the 21st century, on how vast the universe is, something that the people of the time did not understand, what is it that they were giving to him? To make him king over what? It's nothing in comparison. This would be a great demotion on many levels. But he condescended for us. He accepted it on our behalf to become our king because we need his kingship. We need his leadership. We need his charge over our lives. Of course, he is still the Creator of the universe in heaven, but we need him here in our lives, and he condescends for our sake to join us in our life. Other kings, they take taxes from us. They give us from the, we give him our wealth, we give him our lives to fight in battle and wars and so on. But this king gives us from his treasures things more precious than gold. He sends us his own presence in our lives. Other kings send us to war. He fights our battles for us. Other kings demand that we glorify him, but he clothes us with glory. He allows us to sit on his throne, even if we overcome the world, he allows us to sit on the throne. What an amazing leader we have. What an amazing king we have. So let's remember this when we praise him during Holy Week, saying, "Thine is the power, the glory, the blessing, and the majesty forever. Amen." Because he gives us these things out of his unthinkable riches and unthinkable love for us. When we abide in him, he clothes the baptized Christians with power, with glory, with blessings and majesty. So you see the people today blessing and glorifying our Lord Jesus Christ, but it's nothing compared to what he does for us. He glorifies us and honors us with such dignity that the world can never compare. No other king, no other leader provides this. And if our Savior was so lowly as to come to us from the dirty and dwell in us on the dirty streets and take us into Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, how can we not also be humble? Let us praise him for this loving humility, singing the hymn with the people, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the King of Israel." But let's also learn from this humility that he gives us. Because him who is so great. He is so great in heaven, took the lowly place on our behalf. And sometimes we who are so lowly, we try to take the greatest of places, right? We try to bring ourselves up. But let's learn from His holiness, and let's learn from His humility. As He says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we'll keep this message short today because we have a long day. But may our Lord Jesus Christ bless this Holy Week for us, this experience that we're about to go through. And as the line between heaven and earth is blurred, we share in the work of the heavenly and His praises throughout the week. Let us also remember the Lord's humility and practice that humility with Him and with each other to the glory of the Holy Trinity, now and forever and on to the ages of all ages. Amen. So try your best to make as many services as you can during the week. Hopefully you all have texting from the church. If you're not receiving texting, let me know. We'll make sure you get the updates. But it's on the schedules on the website as well. So just try to attend as many of those as you can and try to get the blessing. And glory be to God forever. Amen.